The question was asked, how are we to understand the first stage of tshuva, or the first stages of tshuva? Well, the first stage of teshuvah is azivat achet. The first stage is a person stops doing what they're doing wrong. You know, I don't know if you've seen this, but kids will sometimes be pushing or pinching or hitting their sibling, and you tell them apologize, and they're going to be doing it as they're apologizing, right? I'm so sorry. Right? But Dad, I was just finishing. I wasn't done yet. So that's a concept which we it sounds funny, but we have a hard time with. On the one hand, we might regret what we did wrong. That doesn't mean we're prepared to stop. How many times does a person think to himself, I shouldn't be seeing that on the internet? And if he's really brought himself to a nice level, then he might actually want to do tshuva on it. And standing there on Yom Kippur, he might say, God, I know I shouldn't be looking at such things. I regret it. And is he really prepared to leave it? So step one in tshuva, in its classical sense, is to stop doing what's wrong. And there's a famous joke about a woman who came to church to confess, and she starts telling the guy on the other side of the door, she tells him, you know, I did this with this guy, and then I went with that guy, and I did this and that, and she's going into all the gory details, and after a minute, he says, you know, lady, you've been telling me this story week after week, and I already told you, you're forgiven. Why are you coming back and telling me the story all over again? So she said, I enjoy it so much every time I tell you the story all over again. There's an element where if a person recounts what they did wrong, they can actually enjoy it. I mean, we fantasize. There's definitely that component in every person, where a person can relive the pleasure of doing what's wrong, and that's not right. So step one, before when we talk about tshuva, is the recognition, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm not gonna do that. Step two is I regret having done that. Okay? They're not the same thing. Step one is I'm not going to do it, and I could say I'm not going to do it, but I still enjoy the memory. You know, a person had a good steak, and then they looked back and they said, yeah, I don't know if that was kosher. I didn't take a good look at the restaurant before I walked in. But boy, was that good. Okay, I'm not going to do that again. But boy, was that good. Okay, so he's doing a zivat achet. He's saying, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to eat in a place when I don't know that the certificate is a good one. But he isn't regretting what he did yet. So that's fine. That's step one in tshuva. Step one is, I'm not going to do it again. And we can see that in our own lives. I'm saying that's... And I think the fact that Chazal broke it up gives us legitimacy to see how we ourselves evolve. So step one is, azivat achet. I'm not going to do it anymore. Step two is, charata. I look back and I say, I'm sorry I did it. Now, part of step two leads us to step three. And that is to verbalize that I regret what I did. And that's what you might call vidui, confession. Now, in Judaism, we say, you're not supposed to tell anyone else what you did wrong. Vidui is a very personal thing between man and his creator. A person is supposed to keep his transgressions private. If a person comes up here and says, you know, guys, I overslept the last 3 days and I didn't down chakras with him, tomorrow I'm going to get up on time. That's not right. When a person did that, what did he just do? He just demeaned the mitzvah in the eyes of everyone. Because when a person publicly says they did something wrong, what they've really done is they've made the mitzvah less in everyone's eyes. Even though a person says, I regret doing it, I really shouldn't have done it. But the fact of the matter is, a person has put down the mitzvah. And that's why in Judaism we say, confession is between man and his creator. A person has to say to God, I'm sorry, I regret doing that. And I can tell you that one of the great tools of tshuva is if a person does this in his tefillah. He says, Slach lanu. We say it in tefillah every day. If a person were to say in his tefillah, Rabon Shalom, I'm sorry I spoke disrespectfully to my parents. What are the odds he's going to end his prayer and go back and speak disrespectfully to his parents? Saying it, verbalizing that confession to his creator helps us seal in that decision. I don't want to do this again. But again, it's to God. Now, there is one element which is a little tricky here, and that is everything we've discussed until now are issues that are between man and his creator, ben adam namakom. What about man and his fellow man? So there, let's say a person woke up his roommate. He walked into the room and he carelessly woke the guy up. So then a person is supposed to go and say, I'm sorry. I should have been more careful. I'm sorry I did it. There's the apology, and then there's making up. I care about you, and I was wrong. And I'm sorry. The apology doesn't have to have the components between man and his creator. The apology to someone else is to say, I'm sorry, and to make them feel good. You don't have to come and say, I regret it, and I wish I would have never done it, and I take it upon myself, I'm never going to do it again, and that's not the point. The point is to express, I'm sorry for what I did, and I to bring back the relationship to where it should be. If you owe the person money, pay him. I once came back from the dry cleaners, I had a suit jacket, I was on my way out for Shabbos, I put the suit jacket on the suitcase, hanging, and I ran in to get a sefer. I come out of the Beis Medrash, and someone runs by and knocks down the jacket into the mud. So the guy picks it up, and now it's all muddy. I got to get it cleaned again. And he says, I'm so sorry, and he gives me the jacket. I say, so am I. And he wants to go off. And I said, wait a second, it's going to cost me 35 shekel to get that clean now. He looks at me and says, and you want me to pay? I said, what do you mean? He said, I said I'm sorry. Right, you said you're sorry, so what? You just caused me a damage of 35 shekel. What does it cost to bring a jacket to the dry cleaners? Saying you're sorry isn't enough. If you owe a person money, you got to pay the money you owe. You're sorry doesn't cut it when you owe a person money. And that's halacha. So, again, the question you asked was more specifically, where does confession fall in? How do you do confession? Confession is between man and his creator. There is an element where a person, when he wants to make up with another person, sometimes the only way to make up is to say, I know I'm wrong. I know I shouldn't have done that. I apologize. But when we speak about confession, generally that's only to one's creator. Sometimes a person has no choice and they're not sure how to go about becoming a better person. And then a person would sometimes be wise to take counsel with an educator, with a rabbi, because they might be able to give them tips to help them overcome their weakness. And then sometimes you have no choice, so you share with the rabbi what you're doing wrong. But it's not an ideal by us. Our goal is on the contrary. Don't tell me. That's the story Rabbi Aviner once said. Someone asked him, if you have a problem like this and this, and what should you do? So he said, go to the rabbi and tell him, I have a friend who has a problem. Talk to him about your friend. Okay, so that's legitimate. It sounds funny, but it's legitimate. There's no reason a rabbi or anyone else should know what a person's weaknesses are. It's no one's business. I'm saying, by us, we believe, keep it personal.